Okay, if you would, let's turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, and I want to begin in verse 21. Now, this account is also found in Mark chapter 7. And in these passages, we read where Christ and his disciples went into Tyre and Sidon to a house where Christ was wanting to stay hidden. He didn't want anybody to see him and the disciples. So that kind of gives you the idea of, you know, what they were doing here in this passage. But he could not be hid, it says, because there was a woman that had heard of him, and Christ was pleased to reveal himself to her. And it says in Mark that she heard of him, and we can see that she was determined to talk to Christ. In Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Aren't you glad Christ doesn't do what his disciples ask all the time? And next we read, it says, But he, it's the same thing as saying, But God. He wanted to reveal himself to her. But as he does with all believers, he's going to bring us down to show us what we are first. He says, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. When Christ is revealed to you, you will cry out for help, because you'll have nowhere else to go. He brings you to that place where you have nowhere else to go. There is an initial time when he does this initially to us, and he brings us down and to let us know we're nothing. But he also continually reminds us that we are nothing and he is all of our help. You will be willing to eat crumbs from the master's table because you know your help is only going to come from the master, and whatever he allows will be sufficient. However, Christ doesn't just give us crumbs. And if you would, please turn to 2 Samuel 9. These are very familiar passages to you. I'm always reminded of Jay Wimberly when I read this passage. Second Samuel chapter 9. We'll just read the whole chapter. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may shew him the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. This man was lame on his feet. This man had a fall that made him lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. And if you look at these words, this is, from this fall, he was sold in, God's people was sold into a place of no bread. God's people are. Now, everyone else, they never know this no bread place. But this no bread place is anywhere you might be. It might be in the midst of a sovereign grace assembly. But he will put you in a place of no bread. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. By nature, I am this Syrophoenician woman, and I am Mephibosheth. I'm a dog, but not only that, I'm a dead dog, lame on both my feet. I'm unable and unwilling by nature to come to Christ. It's not that I'm just not sure about this man, Jesus Christ, by nature. I'm very willing to not have him. So much so that I can say, if that is who God is, I don't want a God like that. In other words, I will to not have this man reign over me. There's plenty of scripture that actually tell us who man is by nature. It specifically spells out and tells us what we are by nature. But I got this new Bible when I was looking through it to see, you know, what all it has, the concordance and all that stuff, and I came across this list of miracles that Christ did. And these miracles kind of give us a picture, if you will, in our mind of who we are, what we are by nature. So what are we? Dead. That should be enough there.
Yes, sir.
The absence of life to God. We are spiritually dead so that we cannot please a holy God. Unclean. I am unfit to approach a holy God. Lame. I am unable to approach God or to walk with God. Bloody. I am unable to stop what kills me or what ails me, what makes me sick. I'm blind. I cannot see Christ. Withered hands. I cannot reach out to Christ. Deaf and dumb. I cannot cry out to Christ, and I cannot hear him call. Full of devils, evil of every kind. Somehow we have to overcome all these things in order to come to Christ. And this is where the but God comes in. Ephesians 2:4 tells us, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now we know, even from this passage, that salvation was accomplished by Christ. You know, in my mind I break it down into, and it can be said a lot better ways and probably broken down even further, but we have salvation accomplished, salvation experienced, and then final glory with Christ. What I want to talk about for the rest of this time here is the experience of salvation. And we read in our passage in 2 Samuel 9 that he fetches us. And how does he fetch us? There's more to it than what I'm going to say. I can't exhaust it. But he puts his spirit in us. And then he sends someone to us with the gospel of his son, so that we know what we are and we know what Christ is. He reveals himself to us. You can read that in Romans 10. He sends a proclaimer, a preacher, another sinner. This one sent tells me of the marvelous grace, and the dead sinner who is being given life hears this message and begins to believe it. God says in his word, "For after the wisdom of God, the world of..." In 1 Corinthians 1:21, excuse me. "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." His table is found where two or three are gathered in his name, where Christ is proclaimed in all that he is and all that he has done. That's where you will find Christ, in his gospel. At his table, we have all we need. All we need. Water, bread, lamb. He is our water. But John 4:14 says this, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The water he gives is refreshing and cleansing. And it's a water, well of water springing up. Christ in us. He's our bread. John 6:35 says this, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." He is that manna from heaven. God provides it daily and exactly what we need. He is our lamb. 1 Peter 1:18 says this, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He is fullness to the believer. He's everything I need. He causes me in that fullness to rest in him. He is both meat and drink. John 6:54 says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." God's people long for eating at the Master's table. They long to come hear the gospel preached, because there they find everything that is needed for their journey. Everything on the Master's table is Christ. Though we be lame on both our feet, at his table we're still told we can eat continually at his table. What I want to hear is Christ and him crucified. We read in the passage also about servants. You know, you have servants of the king. They're all servants of the king. But you have servants serving other servants. God sends his servants to tell me of his son. They show us that the table is laid out before us to eat. Crumbs from a master's table are good, but he has set us at his table to eat his bread continually. If you are God's servant, he puts it in you to do things. One might do this, one might do that. Jack, when you mow the yard, what God is causing you to say is, "I want more water, more bread, more lamb." When you reach in your billfold to put money in the box, you're saying, "I want more water, more bread, more lamb." When you show up here to hear the gospel message, you're saying, "I want more water, more bread, more lamb." When these people stand up here to speak his glorious gospel, they're saying, "I want more water, more bread, more lamb." Now, this can be faked, but God, who has put it in his people's hearts to do so. They do this because they want more Jesus Christ. They can't do without him. And all I can say is, Joe, Walter, more water, more bread, more lamb. Mason, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Almighty, gracious, holy, Father in heaven, we call upon you this morning to thank you, Lord, for enabling us both physically and spiritually to join together to endeavor to worship thee. Knowing, Heavenly Father, that except thy Spirit perform this work within us, we cannot worship thee a proper way. It is all of thee, salvation from the beginning to the end. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for putting this hope within us. In the name of your Holy Son, Christ Jesus, for his sake, amen.